Hare Krishna.
Thank you for, first of all, for hosting us all here on this day. Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj was scheduled to be here, but his flight was delayed by many hours from Mauritius, so Maharaj may have just landed. So most likely Maharaj will not come. But then tomorrow he'll be with us. Some of you may still have a feeling of Christmas, you know. Some may be sort of meditating on Christmas and others don't, like me. But but thinking about it, like, if I should say something. Then we say that if this is the day of peace, which is supposedly what it is supposed to be, that's what the Pope said. We saw the Pope who said, giorno di pace, which means that much Italiano I can handle. It's the day of peace. And so the day of peace. And then, for peace, we follow the Bhagavad Gita and say, Bhaktaram yagitapasam sarvalokamaheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam kyetvam santim vichati. By understanding that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and that everything in this world is meant for the enjoyment of Krishna. Even we are meant for the enjoyment of Krishna. And when we understand that, then we've got the first point of the Bhagavad Gita. Then it is said, the second point is Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, that the Lord of all places is Krishna. So many lords are trying to ascertain themselves over other lords. That is what interferes with peace in the world. But if we accept the Supreme Lord is the proprietor, the Supreme Lord is the controller, and that ultimately our life should be controlled by Him, then there can be peace. And Suridam Sarvadehinam, the friend of all living beings. In this regards to Krishna being the Lord of all, we're talking about the one God that has many names. Whether it is Krishna, or which means the all-attractive, or whether we see Him as the greatest, and so on, or as the one Lord, that's all fine. Different traditions may see Krishna in different ways. But the essence is all that we simply appreciate that worship of the Supreme Lord is the essence. And not claiming proprietorship. Meanwhile, there is no peace in the world. Meanwhile, there is plenty of anxiety. Tension in the world is building up, just around the world, more and more. And what seemed kind of remote 15 years ago, 10 years ago, is not so remote now. An impending war, all these things are possible if we look at the world picture. To what extent that is our concern, to what extent we are going to make all kinds of arrangements for that. Not that many. Mm. The main thing for us is the same. The main thing is to distribute transcendental knowledge, to somehow or other give the world knowledge. It is knowledge which is the source of strength. It is knowledge which is what makes about the transformation. Divyam jnanam, transcendental knowledge. And that's our objective, to somehow or other pass on transcendental knowledge. Therefore, around the world, devotees have made an endeavor to distribute many books of Srila Prabhupada, Bhagavad Gita's and so many others. The Bhaktivedanta Manor was trying this year to do 100,000 books, and I heard that with one more day to go, they were on 92,000. So they had to, in the last day, do 8,000. Maybe they did, I don't know yet. So like that. The devotees are trying to distribute this knowledge, because it is from this knowledge that everything comes. It's not about buildings, it's not about dress, it's not about certain attributes. It's about knowledge and living a life by that knowledge, not just theoretical knowledge, but adjusting one's life according to transcendental knowledge. And as I said, it begins that we recognize that Krishna is the enjoyer. Generally, the tendency is to see that this world is our world to enjoy. But that's a little bit, it doesn't always work like that. Just like, I'm not very expert on biblical quotations, especially in English, which is like, you know, a second language to me. I mean, you know. But I think there's something that says that God gave man dominion over all that be. I think I got that one sort of right. And that included all the animals. But then what happens is that, yes, man was put in charge of all the animals, and next thing is man ate the animals, which is a bit much, you know. I mean, you know, former to Krishna consciousness, my former wife had this cat, you know, and we went on a holiday one time, and the cat went to friends, and then when we, after the holidays, we went to pick up the cat, and then the people said, no, the cat is gone. We said, the cat is gone? What happened? Said, oh, the cat was passing urine on the bed, so we had we took it to the the place, and they
put it to sleep.
And we couldn't believe it. How did they dare, you know, with our cat? I mean, I wasn't really a cat lover, and still, you know, cats is not my favorite, you know. But that was so outrageous, you know. How did they have the audacity to decide to kill our cat? Yeah? Suddenly it was my cat. Usually it was my wife's cat, right? But that day it was my cat, you know. And they killed my cat, you know. I mean, it was outrageous. I felt very, very upset. So I can imagine how Krishna feels, you know. Gave all the animals to be looked after, came back, and what happened? Yeah. So, how can there be peace in a world where there's peace for some living beings and not for others? Yeah. Peace can only be there where peace includes everyone, where we are truly non-violent, where our aim is not to cause any suffering to any living being, as little as possible. Now, somehow or other, it is said that the nature of this world is that one living being is food for another. What can be done about that? So it's like, that's not... So we may bring in a vegetarian moral, and that's very nice, but can we change reality? That one living being is food for another. And what are we going to do about that? But that may be true. We see different animals eating different animals, eating plants, right? Also living beings. Still, plant life is of a lower nature. It is less developed life than animal life. Therefore, better plant life. And in our case, we are saying, patram puspam phalam toyam yome bhaktya priyatsati. We say that whatever can be offered to Krishna, some a fruit, a flower, a leaf, some water. Because Bhagavad Gita says, yajyasistasino santo muchante sarva kim visai. If one eats anything that is not offered to Krishna, then one eats only sin. So this is a situation. Even a vegetarian is getting the sin for killing the cauliflower or whatever. Yeah. Still, sin is involved. But if one eats yajna-sista, remnants of what is offered to Krishna in sacrifice, yes, then there is no negative reaction, rather the opposite. Then it's purifying. Then it's elevating. Whoever takes those vegetables. And the vegetables themselves are being elevated by being offered to Krishna. So in this way, but that is according to Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said, Krishna says, patram pushvam phalam toyam, offer me a flower, a leaf, some fruits, some water. If Krishna would say, offer me some animals, then we would offer all the animals in the entire universe. But Krishna doesn't say. Anyway, so like this, these are some of the basic premises of creating peace in the world. Of course, ahimsa is one thing, non-violence. Another thing is peace with oneself. Who is in peace with himself? It's like internally a volcano. Externally, maybe, like sort of balanced, but internally, so much turbulence, fears, desires, frustration, so many things are there going on internally. Memories, sweet things we wish to experience again, or sad things that we can't forget. All these things we carry with us. So many things. A lifetime of experiences. And actually we know more than a lifetime. Many lifetimes of experiences. Because it's interesting that the Vedic literature also recognizes the subconscious. In the Western world, we think that the subconscious was an invention of Freud, Jung, and Adler, three founding fathers of psychology. Yeah, they came up with this idea of the subconscious, that somewhere there are, like, deep down all kinds of desires and impressions stored in the consciousness, which are not in our regular consciousness, but which are influencing that regular consciousness. Well, it's interesting that the Vedic literature recognizes this also, like thousands of years earlier. But that there it is stated that what is in the subconscious are the impressions of previous lives. And that therefore, from previous lives, there are desires. From previous lives, there are fears. From previous lives, there are so many undigested emotions that are still now influencing us in this life. And still causing us to go through things in this life. Even big traumas from last life can all be there. Yes. But also great talents from last life, like someone like Mozart, you know what I mean, who as a child was already like a wonder child, you know, playing like amazing piano and symphonies and all this. Some karma from a previous life already, just like the sitar player Ravi Shankar, who said that it takes about 90 births to become a really accomplished sitar player. It's like 90 lives it takes. Oh, it takes some practice. What can be said? 90 lives of dedication. I read in a text from one Purana where it said that if you are 100 lives free from sin, that then you can naturally develop your bhakti. Of course, you must still get the association of a devotee, otherwise it won't happen. But so it gave the importance of being free from sin. So bhakti also takes place over more than one life, devotional service. And the Nectar of Devotion is saying that one of the principal causes for devotional service is that it's generally a continuation from last life, generally speaking. And sometimes you may look like that. You look through the room, and you look at everybody and you think, who are they? Who were they? And you try and see behind everyone, like, who were they in their last life? Crystal balls and everything. Stars. Calculations. Yes. You go to India, you go to the Bhrigu reader and they will tell you. The only thing is that, and many people go there and they say the Bhrigu reader, they have scrolls and they find your scroll and, you know, they pay a small fee and they look for it and you come back after a few months and sometimes they found it, sometimes they need more time. Anyway, so far all the people I met from the Bhrigu readers, they were either princes or princesses in their last life, or great transcendentalists, or demigods that came down, or anything like that. Nobody was a dog in his last life. Or a worm, you know, like, and then somebody just, a Vaishnava just spit and it landed accidentally on that worm, and as a result, the worm became a devotee. Nothing like that. And so sometimes I don't trust these Bhrigu readings, because one can become a devotee even when there was no connection with previous life. One can become a devotee from a very impious background when one had nothing to do with spiritual life, simply by the mercy of a devotee. That's the other way we can become a devotee. And Prabhupada said, I created your pious activities. Prabhupada meaning to say, you didn't have the karma or the piety to come to Krishna consciousness, but I created it by prayer. And by service, by my service, by his service, Prabhupada purchased Krishna. This is the principle. The spiritual master, by his service, purchases Krishna for us, purchases Krishna's mercy. We, you know, if it depends on us, on what we have done or what we are doing, we drag our feet. How far does our sincerity go? But the spiritual master purchases the mercy on Krishna. So sometimes it is said that, you know, your tradition puts too much emphasis on practice, on performance, and not enough emphasis on grace. Right? It's all about, you know, you must chant, you're round, you must fast on the Ekadasi, at least from grains, this. You must rise early in the morning. You must do so many things. Right? If you add it all up, you say it's like, you know, but what about grace? Mm-hmm. Are we going to share this bottle of water?
I think it's yours. No. Is there a cup?
I think we need another one. Otherwise, I don't know who's charging the bottles of water, but I can foresee problems with my neighbor.
You brought it. It's yours.
Huh?
You brought it. It's yours.
Did I bring it?
Your servant brought it.
Did my servant bring it?
No, I just put the water there.
You put the water there. Okay, then it's native his water. He always puts water for you.
I'm fine.
You should take, it's good for your kidneys. I'm sure we'll get some water out. Anyway, so the matter is we can declare it a day of peace. We can give a formula by which the world can come to peace. But we are not peaceful within. We are. And in the end, yes, we realize that by our own endeavors, we're falling short. We may try so hard. And then we're falling short. So grace is there. There is grace. But not cheap. Not that kind of grace where we are... He doesn't want to drink. Okay, here's you. Live. He's stubborn, is he? Didn't drink a drop. That one he's gonna drink. Wow.
I drank.
I saw that. You got me confused now. Ah, well. Yes, it is nice to just... So we don't have peace with ourselves. And whether we'll ever have this life, I don't know. To innerly, fully realize peace, one must be totally free from all material contamination. That is quite a task, quite a feat. In so many ways we are influenced by the material energy, and then we've just established that even from previous lives there are remnants. So can you imagine how deep that is, that material contamination? So, but there is grace. Krishna consciousness is not without a philosophy of grace. It is there, but not cheap grace. Not automatic, but after giving it one's very best. First, we must give it our very best. And then, when we reach our limit, then we depend on grace. But first, we must take it to the limit. And that is actually a mature approach to grace. That is a mature approach. Not cheap. You can do any damn thing. But no, not cheap. One must make an effort to be sinless. An effort to be ultimately kind to all living beings. An effort to live in this world in a non-violent way. That's not so easy. Non-violence is not only that one avoids violent acts to other living beings, but there is, so not only active non-violence, but also there's not only active violence, there's passive violence. Passive violence is when it is in our capacity to do something and we don't do anything to avoid the suffering of others. That's also violence. So suddenly to become non-violent means we have to adopt the predicament of the world. We cannot just say, well, it's a beautiful day today, it's Christmas, and the sun shines, what more do you want? It's a celebration. We celebrate. We can celebrate, but we must do something for the benefit of the world to be nonviolent. So all these things are there, and that cannot be reserved for a particular day. That must be every day and every moment. That's like must be a total way of life. That's the only way. It must be ahaitiki apatiyata. It must be unmotivated and uninterrupted. It cannot be interrupted in any way. So this is some of our reflections on peace. We strive for inner peace, realizing that possibly we fall short, but anyway, as long as we strive, there is the grace of the Lord and the spiritual master, and that can that can save us in so many ways. There are many examples of many great devotees who still went through more purification. Like today I was reading about Arjuna, and that Arjuna, at the end of his life, walked to the north, and as he walked to the north into the Himalayas, he went through a lot of austerity, and within that austerity he underwent further purification. Like, I thought he was already pure. Yeah? I thought he was already completely pure. But Bhagavatam then said, no, he still needed further purification before he was completely ready to go back to Godhead. So Arjuna, it's like, So Bhagavatam sometimes describes things like that. Prahlad, such a great devotee from birth, still got some further purification when he was like touched by the hand of Lord Nrisimhadev. Right? Dhruva Maharaj, right? So determined, so incredibly dedicated, touched by the conch of Lord Vishnu, he became purified. So, of course, it says, Bhavani me vyatita ni anjanmanitavas Arjuna. Krishna says to Arjuna that we have been together many times, in many births, in many lives. I can remember and you cannot. So, Krishna and Arjuna are eternal associates, but still, somehow or other, it is mentioned in Bhagavatam that Arjuna now needed that purification to kind of reawaken. It is said that God consciousness or love of God is not like an artificial imposition of the mind. It says in the Vishnu Purana, it's like the rising of the sun. He said it's not that the light of the sun creates all the objects. They're already there. It just makes them visible. So in the same way, it's like our love of God is already there. It's just that there is some darkness on it. Or another example, Cape Town is basically a cold place, but when the sun is out, it's warm, but its constitutional position is cold. Yeah. As soon as the sun is gone, boom, cold, yeah, immediately. It's basically a cold place. Just the warm sun can quickly warm it up. It's like you have places like India, even when there's no sun, it's still hot. Yeah. It's just hot. It's like basically a hot place, right? You know, in India, when it's clouded, they say, "Oh, such beautiful weather today!" Huh? Such beautiful weather. You know, it's clouded. You know what do you mean? Oh, the beautiful weather, yeah, nice and cool. Oh, very nice. Yeah. So, like that, basically. Our love for Krishna is our natural state. And therefore, love for God is a natural state. It's like I saw some topics for Rati Acha, and I hope they changed it, but there was a topic that they wanted to give to me. It's like, why is there so much violence in the name of so many religions, you know? And it's like, I mean, I don't know if it's a topic I want to speak about right now in the middle of, like, the world and, like, you know, and whatever is there in the news, you know. It's because of the guys with the beards. I mean, you know, you can say things like that, but... But then again, there's been plenty of violence in the name of the Bible. There's been violence all over the world. But that's not our topic, you know. I didn't like that topic. Because Prabhupada said we shouldn't be against, we should be for. We shouldn't point at those who are, like, on one occasion in the early Back to Godheads, they made an article against butchers, and Prabhupada said, "No, we are not against. We are for Krishna. Our message is not against this and against that. Our message is for Krishna." Our message is, and that's the point, it's for Krishna. It's just, and for Krishna, Prabhupada said, Krishna, Krishna Surya Sam, Krishna is like the sun. If you want to go close to the sun, oh, it's not so easy. You see these movies and the spaceship is out of control and it's just approaching the sun, you know, and these American voices of ground control, gather the steering mechanism is out of control. Oh, I don't know, it's hotter and hotter and everyone starts perspiring and looks really serious, you know, some little flames start a little ready leaking on the outside of the spacecraft and it looks like, you know, any moment it can really, like, get in serious trouble. Yeah. And then just last moment, they regain control and avert a disaster. Yes, if you go close to the sun, there are many, many stories about going close to the sun. In the Greek mythology, there's Icarus, you know, who, like, had wings glued on with wax. Well, when he came too close to the sun, the wax melted and fell in the sea, and the sea still is named after him today. There you go. We also have Jatayu, who was in his youthful age trying to fly towards the sun, and his elder brother shaded him with his wings. But as a result, the wings of the elder brother were burned, and he couldn't fly very well anymore after that. Jatayu, of course, later tried to save Sita from Ravana. So we find it everywhere. If you go too close to the sun, you're going to burn. Prabhupada says, yes, if you want to go to the sun, you can go, but you need a body made of fire. As Prabhupada said, there's water in all the elements. There's life in all the elements. Life in water, life in fire, life everywhere. There are living beings in fire. They're fired up. Can you imagine? Maybe Prihat Mardanga sort of came from there. Anyway, whatever. Last life. No, but leaving the jokes aside. The essence is that if one wants to go to the sun, one has to have a body made of fire. If one wants to go before Krishna, who is the supreme pure, then one must be pure. As simple as that. If we want to go before the Supreme Lord, we have to be pure. Therefore, ultimately, if today is a day of peace, un giorno di pace, as the Pope was saying, right? A day of peace. Then we would say, un giorno di purezza, see? A day of purity. It has to be. Because it's only where that purity is there that peace can be there. It's only then that we can put Krishna in the forefront. Only then. So ultimately, with such an introduction, you know, speaking about purity, I'm sort of getting stuck in the mud of all this contamination in my consciousness, and therefore the only way out that I possibly see is that we turn over to to my neighbor and drink his water. I don't know which one it is, but he drank from both. There's a whole bottle in case you get thirsty. And a cup as well. So somehow or other, it is through mercy, it is through service, it is through effort and through mercy that we become pure. And purity is a requirement. It makes complete sense. It makes a lot of sense that we have responsibility. The human form of life, in that way, is distinguished from animal life. Animals, no responsibility. You can do anything as an animal. And, you know, when you're a monkey, you can do a monkey business, and you don't get in trouble. But as a human being, when you do monkey business, oh, gosh, someone's going to tell you. So we have responsibility as human beings. And that's... that responsibility means that it's that the onus is on us to endeavor for purity. So that's where it begins, our personal change, the change of the world by purity. It is Srila Prabhupada who embodied such an extraordinary level of purity that it just touched the heart of many people, and subsequently he would demand very high standards of those, of anybody really. He was ready to call a spade a spade, to call a fool, or a rascal a rascal, and he would do so. Just like that story about the professor, a professor in Hinduism, who was introduced by Ravindra Swarup, who was an intellectual, to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada says to the professor, he said, "Hinduism? What is the definition of Hinduism?" The professor said, "That's hard to say." Then Prabhupada turns to his disciple, Swarup Damodar, says, "This is my disciple, Swarup Damodar. He's also a PhD. Swarup Damodar, what do you call that?" "Cheating, Prabhupada." Prabhupada said, "That's right. That's right. Cheating." And within minutes, he had a major, major argument with this professor. And it got so bad that in the end, Brahmananda, who was rather on the large side and who had previously been a wrestler also, that it took Brahmananda to come and say to the professor, "It's better that you leave now." And the professor then left. And then 20 years later, Ravindra Swarup met that professor. Met the professor. And the professor said, you know, "Your Swami, he was right." After 20 years, the professor admitted that that Prabhupada was right. He had this purity, and with that could impress people. And it's because so much so that even we are here. It's otherwise we wouldn't be doing this. Forget it, you know. I would be home now for Christmas, for sure, you know. With my family, what else would I be doing? That's what it would be. I wouldn't be walking around in an orange dress, although I'm Dutch. That's kind of like, you know, it's sort of what we wear, but not on Christmas. There are other days for that. So, what to say? The essence is because of the purity of a great devotee, one becomes inspired to aspire for this path of purity, and then, then one must endeavor according to the directions of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, the spiritual master, the scriptures, devotees, and that way can be. Madhavi Prabhu, please, maybe you can tell us something.
Thank you.